Welcome to Life Lab with David Ponder and Zach Schaefer. We are the podcast of Experience Experiments.
We give you those experiments via change challenges at the end of each episode.
We created this podcast because we wanted to talk about important topics that can help us all live meaningful lives.
You might agree with what we have to say, or you might disagree. But the point there is that you get something new to think about.
There's no edits and no gimmicks. Our entire point is to help you take action and live a better life.
You only get one life to live, so you may as well make the most of it.
Good morning, everybody, on this not-so-crisp fall morning here in St. Louis, Missouri. Today, we're talking about something that sometimes gives me a pain in the neck, literally. And that's fitness and athleticism. And I say that because I literally tweaked my neck trying to be fit and athletic yesterday morning doing pull-ups. But beyond that, an occasional injury or tweak of the body, it's one of the most important things we can do to try to stay healthy, to try to take care of our body, of which we only have one at this point in our species evolution. And for those people that enjoy these types of activities, it is a major mental stress reliever.
That's where I started, was with the word body.
Yeah. Tell me more.
I thought about it because this is such a wide topic. You know, we're talking about fitness and athleticism. And just think about all the things that like can touch. It can touch sports. It can touch health. It can touch lifespan. It can, all these things, right? And I'm sure we'll go down the list and we'll talk about all these things. But and I was like, okay, but what does it all center around? It really centers around your body. Like, that is your mechanism, your machine, your vessel in which to interact in the physical world. And that's exactly, that's the core of what we're talking about.
Yeah. The other thing I'd say that's tied to it, just the industry that has built up around this lately, mainly the fitness half of it, because the athletic part's been there for a while. It's just funny to me, just like how many fitness professionals there are out there now and just how uber active they are with all social media, just always out there. There's always a new. It amazes me how innovative people can still be with different and new fitness techniques.
You know, so that you're touching on something important, which an idea that popped in my head as you were talking. Yes. So there's a lot of money.
Yes, that's what I'm getting at.
Fitness. So what does that mean? That means that people value fitness, right?
Well, because they're out of shape.
Well, and I was just going to tie. I was just going to tie. Like, people value fitness. They're willing to spend money on fitness. And yet, we're probably, as a nation, the least fit. I mean, as far as measurements go, measurements of, you know, the
obesity.
Obesity is the classic measurement, right?
But that's the best capitalist version. That's the best thing we could be. Let's get fat first and pay a bunch of money to get fat. Then let's pay a bunch of money to get fit. Then fat again. Then fit again. It's a great never-ending consumerist capitalist cycle.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And I would say that it's kind of – it touches on a few of the other things that I wanted to talk about, which are – motivation, you know, pain and hard work. And where do those fit in? Like, looking good versus performing well, quality of life. Why is it that, why do people value fitness so much?
I don't think there's a single reason. Vanity is a big part.
Yeah. Vanity and sex probably, right?
Yeah. I think. Yeah, vanity. Well, sex is probably the primary driver, yeah. And then we disguise that through a variety of levels, because that's primal, at least for men, I'd say.
I would agree.
But yeah, vanity, sex. I would say one thing I wrote is just psychology in general. I like to be fit because it makes me feel good. It makes me feel young. It makes me feel still connected to those that former Zach that was, you know, more athletic. So for me, it's mental health. Even if I'm not it's looking in the mirror and seeing the lion, even if you're the kitty. Like if I'm lifting and I'm being consistent with that, I just feel good. And then when I'm not, I'm guilty.
Yeah, there is. That's kind of the way it is for me too. It's more of an immediate feeling that I'm going after. Like one of the things I wanted to talk about is like, we know that if you are more quote unquote fit, so your health markers, right? Weight per height, body mass index, but I mean, not even in, all those impact things like blood pressure and all the things that we talk about, those impact your lifespan. But you never hear anybody like at the gym being like, oh man, I just got my blood sugar level down to whatever. And I guess you could hear people.
It depends on the gym you're at.
You'd have to be you'd have to be at a pretty hardcore gym for people to be talking about that as their measurement of success. Well,
but I would say I disagree. Josh and the people he lives with, that's how they talk, dude. They know their macros and all that. They are weightlifters.
I know, but they're hardcore.
But yeah, but I'm saying there's a huge group of people that are like that nowadays. That's that market.
Okay, I'm not going to argue with that. You're right. I would say there's the hardcore fitness market has probably grown a ton. There's shows on like American Ninja Warrior and stuff that focus on performance.
But the average person, I get it. Yeah, we're not diving down that.
CrossFit has become a big thing, right? And we're talking about athleticism, and that's all about performance. And whereas what I'm saying is, if we're talking about marketing fitness to someone, what is it that you're using to hook them? The average person who's on the street just with their Starbucks coffee in their hand, I don't think you're going to like play a video of American Ninja Warrior or talk to them about their macro performance and show them Josh lifting a ton of weight and be like, that could be you.
No. Before and
that's
after.
Not going to motivate
them. Why does fitness sell? Because all it needs is a before and after photo.
It's almost like the most motivating thing about fitness would be like an Instagram model. You know what I mean?
Well, that's why it sells so easily on socials.
Right. Right. But I'm actually kind of contrasting that and saying, okay, so if I think about marketing and selling fitness and what the big motivation would be to the average person versus what it is to myself, there is an immediacy thing. It's just like, I guess what I'm trying to get at is people will do things that they know are not good for them, like eat a poor diet, like smoke cigarettes, because for some reason, something that's way down the road doesn't scare us in the same way as something that's an immediate and present danger, right? I don't know what it is about humans, but we will know smoking gives us cancer and it's going to kill us someday. But hey, that's someday. That's not now, right? This hamburger is probably going to clog my arteries and increase my chance of heart disease, the number one killer in America. But that's like, that ain't today probably, you know what I mean? And so why do people get motivated for fitness, right? It's to me, it isn't, oh man, I might add 2 years to my life.
Of course, no one does that.
Yeah, nobody's thinking that, you know, but there's an immediacy thing to it that's the driver. And for me, it's, I think it's the feeling, that endorphin rush.
It's the immediate, it's maximize pleasure, minimize pain. But what's interesting about fitness is you actually have to increase the pain, which also then increases the pleasure, right? No pain, no gain. And that's once you get that and you get into that, it's really cool. But for people who can't get into that, get past the fact that the more pain I'm feeling, not injury, but you know, pushing it hard, the better I'm going to feel because of that, they'll just not be into fitness.
Yes, you're right. So the word came to my mind, right? So I said endorphins. Endorphins, I get those right after working out, and it's not like it's a super spike, like huge thing that I can't live without. But I do notice, like if I'm working and I take a break and I go work out and then I come back and I start working, I just feel a little bit better, a little bit more in the zone, a little bit something.
To me, a great visual of endorphins is how Ben Stiller acts in the movie Dodgeball. He gets done doing a lift in his gym, and he jumps up, and he's like wiggling and shaking his ass and moving his – he's like, woo, woo, and he's shouting, and they, him and Michelle, his giant fitness consigliere, slap each other on the ass.
That's like, true, yeah.
That is what people go for.
That's visualized endorphins, yes. Right? And I think people get that to different levels. You hear about a runner's high and things like that, which is a thing. It is. I've experienced that, but I don't get it, like, to the point where I'm shaking and woo, you know right. what I mean? Very rarely do I ever. But what I'll say is there is a short-term good feeling that I get. But
you also don't push yourself in that type of fitness.
No, I don't. And where I get the motivation is like today. So I worked out yesterday and I only worked out a couple times this week, but I've been working so much that in the prior couple of weeks, I didn't get to work out at all. I right now sitting here because I worked out a couple times this week and especially yesterday, I feel comfortable. I don't know how to feel to explain it. I'm a little bit sore, but I feel, I don't know what it is, comfortable. Like my body feels right.
Here's what's even weirder. I'm sitting here, I'm sore from my lift yesterday. I'm not injured, but I'm tweaked. My neck hurts. I have a crick in my neck and I can only do certain things, but I still feel good mentally because it's just like, hey, that'll go away. It's not injured. I'll heat pad it for a week. I'm not going to do that exercise for a while. I'll be fine. And I still feel okay because it's like, hey, man, you were in there. You were pushing it. You were getting after it.
And maybe that's more of a mental – maybe it's more of a mental thing. I don't know. It's weird because I will – my kids will climb on me and they'll like push my chest. And I'll be like, ow, that hurts. You know, like, Dylan, come on. Like, give me a break.
Weakness.
But I like – there's something I like about that. Mm-hmm. It's literally – and what you said is really important, which is it took me being a young – I think when I figured out, oh, my gosh, I do like lifting weights. It took me being a young man who was looking for pure vanity.
Yeah.
Pure, like, God, I got to get girls. Beach I muscles, want yeah. beach muscles. Yeah. And so that's why I'm doing this. That was my motivation. And then only after doing that for a long time did I make a connection. There's something I enjoy about this. Mm-hmm. Like regardless of whether I, you know, I'm in a committed relationship.
Nice
I'm
not to, yeah, it'd be nice to look good.
Exactly. I'm not trying to impress other people necessarily. But I do. I enjoy this. And obviously – there's some vanity to fitness, it. I want to look good. But.
Fitness and athleticism for guys and gals our age is a time machine.
That's important.
You're trying to create a time machine. You're trying to, first of all, connect your mental state to your previous self, and that's a positive thing. If you've built up habits from your past where you enjoyed fitness. I had a whole decade where I basically just didn't do anything but get drunk and party, and I didn't do any fitness. I was lucky enough to have good genes and not put on a ton of weight, but I was weak. I was thin. And then I moved back to St. Louis. And as soon as I hired someone and started getting into it, Jenin, and he built me back up, man, all of those memories and feelings came back to like, oh God, yeah, you used to be good at this stuff and really enjoy it. And now I've been able to keep that with me. The second part of the time machine, though, is trying to truly keep yourself younger. It doesn't matter if you're out sprinting miles, playing basketball, like Josh, you know, lifting 1,000 pounds, or you're walking, you're out with your Fitbit on, you're getting around the block. You're trying to do something to prolong your body and your time on this earth.
Yeah. I have something that hits what you're talking about that I wanted to talk about, which is looking good versus performing well.
Looking good, Billy Ray.
Looking good, man. Looking good. Versus what you said in there, which is like, oh, I used to be good at this stuff. Right. And so that kind of touches on performing well. And so, yes, both of those are a time machine in certain ways. Everybody wants to look good. Let's just be honest, right? Like, you want to look good. There's money in it. That's why people buy nice clothes. That's why, you know.
Most people.
Yeah, most people. And you also touched on something that I think is a really important part of that, which is genetics, right?
Oh, it's a huge piece, you know.
Yeah. You were like, well, I did whatever for a decade, but I had good genetics.
We did. We have luckily we have metabolism. Our bodies just naturally turn things into energy quicker than other people's.
And then you have other people who have genetics that their body type just the isn't the quote unquote ideal body
right.
type.
It's right? a lot harder for them to get into that fitness groove, I would assume.
Which is radically different from performance. right? Yeah. Because there are some people that have a body type, if you saw them, and this becomes radically apparent when you watch performance sports like MMA or any, even endurance sports or, you know, CrossFit, strength sports, somebody, you'll be like, oh, they look, you know, they have too much fat on their body. There's no way. And then they just are awesome at it. You know what I mean? Where somebody will come into the ring for
and
MMA.
They're super fit and they, shredded, yeah, and they're just not that good.
Exactly. Exactly. They lose. So that's an interesting thing I wanted to bring back, which is looking good versus performing well, right?
Yeah, it's one of the main themes which of the movie White Men Can't Jump, which is great with race too, with everything going on. Billy Joel, Woody Harrelson's character, the white guy, plays this goofy white hustler who dresses up goofy and goes to playgrounds, and he's playing with all black people, and they think he's going to suck, and he hustles. He bets them. And then Wesley Snipes' character, who they eventually become friends and win some tournament, but the whole critique is Billy Hoyle's game is ugly, but Wesley Snipes' game is just pretty. So he'd rather look pretty, Harrelson's character says, than win. And I think that's an interesting argument with fitness, because a lot of people do prefer to look good, even if the way they're lifting is not good for their body, like injury prone. Yeah. Josh had a term for it. He called it ego lifting, maybe. I forget. There was a term, and I liked it. I'll think of it.
That totally makes sense, and that applies to me. I know it does. I've been doing exercises where it's like, oh, I could perform this with perfect form, but I have to drop weight. I'm like, nope, not going to do that. here's something to talk about, right? So if we're talking about looking good versus performing well, I really broke down the performing well piece into a bunch of stuff, because it's like, okay, well, what do we mean by performing well? Well, when we talk about athleticism, right? There are so many components of athleticism, and the ones that I was able to gather as I was just doing my quick research were stamina and endurance, strength, power, which is different, right? It's more like explosiveness, speed versus quickness, balance, hand-eye coordination, durability, like the ability to take punishment. Dexterity, right? Accuracy. And one that I thought was interesting, because you don't really think about it, but it is a huge part of an athlete in performance, analytic aptitude, like the ability to process a situation very quickly and make a decision, a performance decision very quickly.
Yeah, but if you watch The Last Dance or read about the top high-performing athletes, everything their trainers do is trying to get them to not think, to not analyze anything, to just simply react because they have the skill.
I think analytic aptitude is reaction also.
Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah. No, that's a good list.
But and so when I talk about all of those things, I guess when we try to relate that back to fitness and the average person, right? Like, why are you trying to get fit, right? Like, people make New Year's resolutions every year, right? I'm going to get in shape. Mm-hmm. And it's like, what does that mean?
Right.
Typically, it means I want to look like I did when I was in high school or college.
Or just
right?
Not be as fat or just whatever. Right. Something different. I want to bench what I could bench 10 years ago.
Right, right. I want to fit into – yeah, isn't it funny? Like,
but that's a good goal.
I want to fit into some jeans or I want
that,
to fit
but
into –
that to me is a good goal. That's a smart goal. That's going, okay, I want to get in shape. Well, what's that mean? I want to be able to put this dress on or this suit on that I wore 10 years ago. Now you've got a very concrete thing to get to.
Exactly. Or I want to be able to run a mile in X. Right. I want to be able to lift this amount of weight. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. It's something that's measurable, right?
To me, that's the time machine. I want to basically try to connect with my previous self that could easily go do these things.
Right. Right. So that it – and the reason you want to do that is because it impacts your quality of life, right?
Yeah. Physical and mental. To me, though, an interesting piece, though, is just evolution. We're 38 years old talking about this. It would sound very different if two 28s were talking about it or two 18-year-olds. They wouldn't even think about this. It's just like, it's not even a concept. It's just a thing that people go do when you're 18. We weren't sitting around thinking about fitness and athleticism. We were just out being fit and athletic. But now it's a concept. We've got to investigate it and understand it and make it a habit as part of our life. Why? Because we're old. because we're getting old. And if we don't, it won't be a habit. Like, and that sucks. That's life slapping us in the face and being like, bro, you can, Zach, you can do what you can hire a former Navy SEAL to get you in shape and feel great. And guess what? Your Achilles is still going to blow. Why? Because you're 38 years old and that's how life works.
Yeah. I think what, yeah. So you we have to make room for it in our life.
You have versus to accept that there's certain things, no matter what we do at this point with where science is, there's certain things that are just still going to happen.
Oh, well, that's true for sure. That's absolutely. Then you're not going to get past that. That's just aging.
Not now, but eventually they will. Eventually, they view aging as a technical problem to be solved.
Yeah, we can talk about the technology of fitness. We should. We should revisit that. For now, what I wanted to bring up was something that you said, which was we didn't even think about it. We didn't talk about it. We just did it.
Or that's how I
It's true, but it was more integrated in our life then. Like, I feel like as an adult, that you have to consciously make room for it in your life.
That's why I said carve. You got to carve it out.
Now. Yeah, there's so much responsibility.
But there was, plenty of people, like my wife, she wasn't a fitness person ever. So it wasn't part of her life then. She was in theater, and that's all encompassing. So if she wasn't at home, she was at the theater doing stuff all the time.
That's true.
We were in sports. So if we weren't at home or out getting hammered, we were playing sports and being fit. We weren't thinking about, oh, I need to be fit. It was just, I just get up. What day is it? Up, this practice. Up, go lift weights. Whereas now it's, we're much more strategic and conscious and planning about it.
Well, yeah, it was embedded in what we did as kids. So that was our release. That was our activity. That was what we were interested in. It was our hobby. We would play basketball.
What kept me out of jail.
But yeah, we played sports. We would be in multiple sports teams every year. And then even in our free time, when we had nothing to do, chances are we'd have a ball in our hand doing something. You know what I mean?
Riding bikes. This ties to something, one of the things I wanted to talk about, which was about passing it on. So an important piece for me, for my kids, is I want them to embrace fitness and athleticism. Clearly, I can't force them to be athletic if they're either athletic or not. And then you can hopefully fan that flame. Claudia is. I think Ben is. The question then becomes, do you want to encourage – one of the many questions becomes, do you want to encourage your kids to try as many different sports as possible and play them all, or do you want to help them find the focus of the one they love? And this is something parents struggle with. And I don't have the right answer. Like, I don't even know what I'm trying. I go back and forth with what I want to do with my kids. You know, because I can see some pros to both of, you know, what are the most successful people in the world that we ever remember? Uber laser focused on that one thing, whatever it is. Well, but maybe that's not the goal or the point for it. Maybe it's to just explore and try new things. But then it's okay. Now every waking minute of the day, somebody has to be scheduled into something. So I don't know. I go back and forth on it, trying to get the kids different athletic and fitness experiences. Hopefully they find some they enjoy and want to just pursue on their own. But at their ages right now, I feel really lucky. Because Claudia has really taken to Taekwondo. I know it's not going to be something she does her whole life. If she wants to, great. There's no way it'll happen. But I see the skills she's getting from it that will translate to all kinds of other things, even just like normal walking down the road, self-defense.
Yeah, that's a great – so it's like exposure to that stuff.
Well, and then Ben, he's 4. He's in gymnastics. Do I think he's going to be some, you know, Olympic gymnast? No, of course not. If he wants to try to pursue that, great. Let's get after it. Good luck. But if not, and he goes to play baseball or basketball, those things he's doing are going to be unbelievable for those sports. The flexibility, agility, dexterity. Mark told us all about that.
Yeah, that's true.
So anyway, you got to find things they enjoy if you like fitness, but that might be different and can stretch them in a new way.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I think it's interesting how in a child's life, when we talk about quality, because I want to bring this back to quality of life, because I really do think that's what this is about. And in a young person's life, it's almost like built into the structure of life that there needs to be a physical activity component. Even in school, they bake in playtime where you go outside and play and run around.
Physical education.
And a class called physical education where you play sports, right? And that's a part of their – it's not optional. No, you have to go do it. And if you don't participate, you will get a bad grade in PE. And you know what I mean? It's actually kind of – and then as adult, it's one of those things that we do. As adults, I mean, that's on you, man. Like, good luck. The most people go from their – I think it was Seinfeld who said this. Like, they go from their bed to their car chair to their office chair to their living room chair back to bed. You know what I mean? And it's like that's the way that our lives are built. All the technology, all the machinery, all everything that we have around us.
Well, and it's only getting worse. Eventually, it's going to be idiocracy. You're going to just – all of it's going to be in one thing. You're just going to be in a virtual world.
Yeah, yeah. So there, at no point is it built in, save for the military, which is actually really interesting, right? Like if you're in the military or if you work on a military base, even as a civilian – you have like – I even think military civilians who have nothing to do with the military. They just work for the government on a base. They have like an hour built into their day for physical activity, which is
awesome.
Yeah, but why isn't that just ubiquitous? If this is so important, why isn't it something that everyone does? If we value it so much that we're willing to spend money on it.
I would say I guarantee certain companies do, but not across the board.
Yeah.
But here's what's interesting about it. You primed my brain. You said it's about quality of life. I agree, which is weird because most of what we do as humans is focused on the quantity of everything, the quantity and how much. But what's interesting is the fitness and athleticism piece. It is about the quality, which to me is about enhancing the feeling in the moment of pleasure. But by doing that, you probably are also enhancing the quantity.
I know. It's funny, isn't it?
But then again, we got to remember, no matter what we do, life is life. And we all know fit people who ate healthy and didn't do things and they die early.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
That shit's going to happen.
Oh, yeah. No doubt. And that's why I think I focus on quality of life. Because if you're focusing on quote-unquote fitness, right, and you're following through with it, you're getting a reward of some kind. There's no reason you would do it if you didn't have a reward of some kind, right? Let's say you're a young man and you're keeping yourself really in shape and your reward is that you look good, you feel confident trying to get the other sex, right? That's a reward. When you're older, right, you feel good, better about yourself. It improves your self-esteem because you are able to perform the way that you did when you were younger, right, or you look better than you did when you let yourself get out of shape. There's a reward. Like the quality of life goes up.
It's hard when you're older and you have responsibilities or kids or you're just working a ton because you can't build that habit. When you're young, it's built in and it's a habit. You have a craving. So you get a cue, then you do your routine, which is the fitness or the sports. Then you get your reward, the serotonin or being awarded for your performance. But over time, once you build your habit, as soon as you see the cue, your sports clothes laid out, or it's that time of day, your brain already starts shooting the serotonin before you even do the activity because now you've got a craving that you've created. When you're older, good luck. You have to be super consistent with that to form that habit and that craving just because you have so many other things trying to vie for your time.
Well, and when you're young, it's a routine and it's an expectation. So when the way that I think about it, when we were young, our peers, everyone around us was probably engaged in some sort of physical activity.
Because that was who we associated.
That's who we associated with. That's the group that we ran with. But I would even say, you know, like you said, Kizzy was into theater. She wasn't into sports. I would say if you took a general student body, and maybe this is just because of my bias, of my experience, but it just seemed to me like most of that class was involved in some kind of sport, some kind of sporting activity. It was an expectation, right? And I'm even going back to like our Catholic grade school. Like let's just take a 30-person Catholic grade school class and say of those 30 kids, how many of them played sports? I would say it was well more than half.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree. I can't say that for Bevel East. You know, have graduated with 600-700 students. There were a lot of people I can think of right now. There ain't no way they were going anywhere near sports.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of stuff.
That's true. I'm just talking about that versus now as adults. Now let's take those same 30 people as adults that were, you know, exposed to that and almost as an expectation.
Right? 10%.
Yeah. Like it's way less. And it's,
well, especially where we're at in life. Cause now again, it's the pass it on phase. Most of our cohort is in the, we got kids, we're in provider phase. So it's less about me, more about the kids. And so now it's focusing on helping them hopefully be fit.
Well, and it's that responsibility thing. It's like, well, number one is I've got to provide.
But right? To me though, that's the opposite. If being fit can literally extend our lifespan
and make your life better.
One of
today.
The best things you can do is to have a good example of being fit for your kids.
Yeah. Make your life better today. Right. Here's where I guess I'll go with that as an adult is I can remember, and I think Lauren would agree with this. When we lived in Colorado, there was an expectation because peers were doing something physical throughout the year. You were expected to participate.
It's a fit outdoor culture.
Yes. And it was like, oh, are you guys doing any 5Ks or marathons or you climbing any peaks? Are you going on any hikes? What are you doing? You're going to, you know, what are you doing this year? And it was just, that was the dinner conversation.
And St. Louis ain't that.
Yeah. No, and that is not here. Like in the Midwest, nobody says.
What ball game are you going to? What brewery are you going
right.
to?
Right. Well, like what athletic accomplishment are you trying to achieve this year? Right. Like that's literally what they were saying. No, nobody asks that question. And so when I say that as comparing it to youth, I think in our youth, we were expected. There was an expectation similar to that. Our peers, many of our peers were doing that and asking, what are you doing in that area? And we lose that as adults, that expectation. And I think that's something that we should have. But you also said when we're teaching our kids about fitness, we should be a good example of them to show them that it can extend your life. But I also
– Well, I didn't mean just a good example because it will extend our life. I'm not being like, let's do push-ups. Hey, this will add some days on our life, guys. I don't ever say that.
Of course. Of course.
Just be the example.
Well, yeah, being the example is the key. And I think if we're going back to the very beginning when we're talking about, well, what motivates, I think it adds to your quality of life today and tomorrow and figuring out how to show that to your children. You know what I mean?
Yeah. What you said is just, I can see some fucking fitness person on Instagram. Add to your tomorrow today. That's what they do. They just take it and sloganize it. And I can't stand it. I'm glad there's that industry because it does help bring some joy and extends people's life. But man, they are nonstop. With the marketing.
So here's the conundrum. Here's what I'll say the conundrum is about fitness. When I was young and I would do anything related to fitness, I wasn't lifting weights. I wasn't trying to, you know, increase my performance. I was playing a sport, most likely. And so the benefit of the fitness was a side effect of the sport. I got an immediate reward from competition, winning, losing, camaraderie with a team, all of those. That was my motivation as a child. As I became an adult, sure, you can still play team sports, but it's a lot harder to incorporate into your life. There's scheduling. There's trying to find out whose leagues and what team you're going to be on. It's much harder to just be a part of a team sport or even an individual sport. It's way easier just to say, okay, I'm going to be physically active as an individual when I can fit it in my day. And usually that doesn't involve sports. Usually that's going to the gym or it's running or whatever, working out at home. And so the reward there is different, right? You don't get immediate all of those things that I talked about as being a child, right? The competition reward, the camaraderie with friends reward, so you have to have a different motivation. Not only that, here's another thing that makes it harder as an adult. What is it that, like when you're a kid and you're playing sports, the thing that is most present in your mind, at least to me, was the environment that I'm in, the feedback I'm getting, you know, hanging out with friends. And if it was physically exhausting or grueling or painful, that was in the background because everything else was overriding that. Whereas as an adult in a gym or just running, like the most present thing in my mind is the pain.
Yeah. Interesting. I would say the expectation of winning is different societally when you're a kid and then when you're older, because that's removed. Like winning, you have to redefine what winning means because you're not doing a lot of competitive stuff when you're older. Societally, culturally speaking, I also think that's shifted and it's almost frowned upon to have this expectation of winning. Like everybody should be equal out there and have a good time. And it's just like, okay, good. You raise your kids that way. Schaefers are being raised expected to win. You're competing in something, you're expected to win. Play hard, learn. And it depends on the age. You hit fifth grade and you're wanting to do competitive sports, we're playing to win.
Yeah, I actually wonder if there's not that backlash coming.
Oh, it is.
Yeah. Or I even know, present.
Yeah. But I know plenty of teams out there. It's still it's not about that competitive winning nature. And we know people who've – some of Kitsy's friends, they were on a team, and it was clear it was just, like, not about the competition. They just took their team kid off and started a different team and said, we're here to win.
Yeah. I feel like there's always been a little bit of that element, and I think it probably is like a pendulum. It swung too far
yep.
over the past decade one way to where everyone was getting, you know, the participation trophies and nobody's – they don't keep score. And I think it's swung back the other way. I mean, at least I think it's beginning to. You got stuff like The Last Dance and everybody's like glorifying the competitiveness of Michael Jordan. And so I think it's kind of swung back the other way, or at least it's starting yeah. to.
Well, to me, it's just I'm saying it's to each his or her own there. But there's different phases. Like if you take this uber hyper competitive approach to 5, 6, and 7 year olds, that's probably not super good.
Yeah. Yeah, and so that's like competitiveness and ego, right? That's competition. That's winning, losing versus doing it for the sake of fitness or doing it for the sake of building performance and athleticism, right? So is it it's ability versus achievement.
Yeah, but you talk about motivation. It's all how a person frames it. When I'm in the gym, I'm competing. I'm there to win. I'm competing against what I lifted last time. That's how I build it. Literally in my head, I'm like, all right, you douchebag. Like you got this yesterday. You better get this today. You better beat that. That's how I do it. I'm not saying that's how you should do it or people can't. That's just how Zach Schaefer does it.
Yeah.
And if I don't, I'm not in the gym.
That's interesting.
I have to create a fake competition because that's how I'm hardwired. I know that. I'm not in there being like, I like fitness. All right. I'm in there to be like, dude, you only got 220 yesterday. You better get 230 today.
Is that sustainable?
Absolutely. As soon as I quit creating fake competitions in my head, I'm done. My soul's gone. That's who I am. I want to beat everyone. I want to beat myself all the time. I make up things in my head because that's who I am. That's what drives me.
So when you plateau, do you just come up with a new
game?
Yeah. So it's a like, okay, challenge. Well, I'm not going to lift. Like I just hit whatever. I'm benching 275. It's the most I've ever benched.
Yeah.
As far as my body and my natural ability goes, I'm probably maxed out. Time to start competing with myself in something else.
Yeah. Just right? I switch to a different activity.
Okay.
Like I'm not unrealistic. I'm trying to get to 500 pounds on some dumb thing. I know.
Well, no, I was just thinking about the day where you your body's about maxed out and you're just like, damn it. I lost again.
No,
every day I can't get another 5 pounds. Yeah. No, that makes sense.
I set a goal.
Yeah.
To achieve.
No, the reason I brought that up is because, at some point as I got older, when I work out, I've switched from constant improvement mode to maintenance mode, right? And so I've asked myself, what is it that I want to be able to do? And I've just set a couple easy measurements, right? I want to be able to bench press this. I want to do X amount of pull-ups, and I want to be able to run a mile in a certain time. And my workouts are designed around maintaining that ability,
nice. Right?
And so obviously, and I'll oscillate. like sometimes I'll get my mile time really, really down, and then I'll hit a stretch where I can't, I'm working all the time and I lose 30 seconds on my mile time or whatever. And I'm like, damn it, it sucks. But then I work to get it back. Right. Mm-hmm. And that happened over life. To me, it was just like, it became apparent to me, like I'm not going to keep improving forever. And what are the things that I actually care about?
Well, you're not a software technology person then.
Well, yeah. Well, your body's not. Right. Your body's not. And that's an interesting...
Not yet.
Well, no. And here's another thing that I wonder. Because we talked about age, right? And we've kind of talked about age and how as we're older, now we have to make it a point to do all these things. What about when... Over the course of time, my bench press and my mile time and all these things just naturally slip.
Right, yeah, because they're gonna.
Yeah, I mean, they already have. As far as like my 100% capacity, 17-year-old Dave's best mile time would be way better than 38-year-old Dave's mile time.
Here's one. My mile time this past year was better than any previous mile time that I can remember because I was training with your brother. And he was making me puke every single time we'd work out. I'm throwing up. I'm sprinting up hills.
Yep. Yeah.
So I disagree. To me, it's all about time, effort, energy. If you have if you set a goal and you want to hit it, you can push. You can hit it hard, but you got to have the time to be able to do it. And that was something I wanted. I wanted to get – my goal was to get – I want to be in better shape or as best a shape as I was when I was 18. But to me, the whole point – the greater point is I get it. I hit it. I know I'm in way better shape than all you guys on this basketball team. And then life says, fuck you, Achilles, pop. So to me, that's just the
illusion got a bad injury.
Of control.
Yeah.
None of it matters. Yeah. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's a good point. And I think where to defend my point, I was not saying you can't perform better at 38 than you did at 18. You can. But I'm saying it's probably the capacity for performance at 38 is probably lower than the capacity performance. Well, so if you were training with my brother in the same way that you were training when you were 38 at 18, you would have done better than your 38-year-old self.
I had to train with a former professional Navy Special Forces just to touch what I was doing then.
Right.
And back then it was just you had it.
Right, exactly. And then, so that's my point is the capacity of performance I believe will – and naturally – think about what we talk about with old age when we're talking about fitness. The ability to sit up or sit down and stand up on your own, unassisted. The ability to walk up and down stairs. Things that we take for granted today are going to become a part of fitness.
I take stairs whenever possible because I remember talking to an old dude. He probably wasn't that old. He's probably in his 60s. And I was in my 20s. And he's like, you care if we take the stairs? I'm like, no. He's just like, here's a free tip for you. As long as you're able to take the stairs in your life, always do it because someday you ain't going to be able to. I don't even remember who told me that. I always take the stairs whenever possible because of that.
Yeah, there have been a couple lessons that have been driven into my head that really stuck. One is if you don't use it, you lose it, mm-hmm. right? And two is your body is going to conform to the lowest – like common denominator of activity that you put it through on a daily basis. So that goes with flexibility, that goes with climbing stairs, that goes with running, that goes with working out. And as you age, here's the thing. As you age, your capacity for whatever, it goes down, right? But if you're constantly running, there are 80-year-olds out there who are running, right? They have senior Olympics and stuff like that. So it's like your capacity will naturally go down, but it won't go down like it would if you don't push yourself. Right. You know what I mean? You can maintain a level that you never would have been able to maintain. And that applies whether you're 38 or 80.
Right.
Right? So your training with my brother and all that at 38 probably will have an impact for years. Hopefully. As far as your like physical ability.
Well, I know a guy – in my professional network, he's in his late 70s, in great shape. He does professional walking. So there's professional walking competitions, or I don't want to say professional. He's a competitive walker. That's what it is. So it's for older folks. They can't get out and run the marathons anymore. And clearly they're very active people. And they know that walking keeps you healthy. So it's competitive, though. There's awards given for just how long you go.
That makes sense.
To me, I love the Eagles, the song, but the one lyric, take it to the limit one more time. Like, that is how that's how I live, man. Like, I'm going to keep taking it to the limit until I can't take it to the limit anymore. My whole life. When I'm dying, I'm going to keep trying to take it to the limit. Because once it's gone, it's gone. Can't take it to the limit anymore.
I like that. And here's another thing I'll say. Be conscious of the areas that you haven't taken it to the limit in a long time.
Yeah. Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, because one of the things that I learned that kind of struck me was about these areas they call blue zones, where people live longer typically. And one of the things that, and I guess this is just a theory, right? But one of the theories was that they looked at several of the blue zones and they were in places like Eastern cultures, where they eat on the floor a lot. And so they said, there's just something about the physical act of having to get down on the floor and sit cross-legged and then get up. And as you get older, think of an American elderly person. How many Americans
just putting on your socks is hard?
65, 70. Yeah. Can get down on the floor, sit down cross-legged and get up. And they have to do it multiple times a day because that's how they eat in those cultures, you know? And they were like, they correlated that some way with these blue zones where people live longer. And it's like, yeah, that totally makes sense. If you're going to take the stairs every day, you're probably going to maintain your body a little bit better into the future. If you're going to get down on the floor and back up every day, your body will probably maintain itself a little bit longer. And that, and you want to talk about quality of life. We were talking about quality of life as, you know, middle-aged people being like, I want to look better. I want to have this vanity, this ego. Imagine, like, I can't go up my stairs anymore.
Well, yeah, older folks have to change their house so that it's one level.
Yep. And let me say it this. It's inevitable that you will lose physical ability. You will die someday.
right now.
But there's no reason not to, like Zach said, like, and I wouldn't even say you have to push it to 100% of the limit.
Well, no, just
push yourself a little bit.
Limit.
Yeah.
Well, where's a limit I have? Let's see. Can I hit it? Can I go beyond it? It doesn't have to be crazy.
You know what? That brings up a word that we haven't discussed. Discomfort.
Yeah. No, the pain pleasure thing. We talked about it. We just didn't say it. We didn't call it that.
I said to myself, what I said was, whenever I'm working out, the thing that's most present in my mind is the pain. It's the discomfort, right? Whereas when you're a kid, you're so focused on the fun, the discomfort fades to the background. What I would say is becoming comfortable with discomfort, or becoming used to it, making discomfort a part of your daily routine. That's beneficial, man, especially in a fitness capacity.
If you're somebody who used to be fit and you haven't been for a long time and you plan to get fit, don't take it to the limit the first few times you get in there. A guy did that when we started getting into some fitness when I was living in Texas. He was probably my age when we were doing it, so he was late 30s. And he jumped in, and me and this other dude had been lifting for a while and had a good base going. And he tried to just jump in right where we were at with, you know, squats and bench and deadlift and all these power lifting exercises. And he ended up in the hospital. He went to the hospital the next day and was in the hospital for 2 days. He thought he was having all these problems. And then finally they discovered, like, you just got back in and just tried to jump into all this heavy weight. Because he just injured his whole body, basically, like, was just, he thought he was having all kinds of issues instantly. And he didn't even make the connection that it was from lifting. Like, that's how bad it was.
I'll just say this. You don't even have to go to the hospital to ruin it by jumping in too hard. And it's all that motivation thing, right? So
what was ego?
Yeah. Well, as an adult, when you're working out, and it goes back to the beginning of what I was like, I think I just feel better. There's just some, I feel comfortable when I have a little bit of soreness in my body and I worked out the day prior. There's just, I feel a little bit better. I don't know what it is. On the flip side, if you push it too far to where you are in pain, like real legitimate pain, nonstop. That you want to talk about a demotivator? That's what pain is.
Right.
No, pain is a demotivator.
I think of Charlie Murphy talking about Rick James. He was a habitual line stepper, but I think with fitness, there is the line, and as you get older, the line is receding a bit. But for people that want to push it, you just say, okay, here's my line. I'm gonna push it back up. I might be able to not keep it there forever, but I'm gonna keep pushing that line up. But if you have been out of fitness for a while, you got to first identify, all right, where are my new lines drawn? Because they're going to be different if you've been out of it a while.
And be careful how far you go past your line.
Because injuring yourself, if you haven't been fit or trying to do athletic stuff for a while, and you're going to commit and you want to get back into it, the worst thing you can do is go too hard too fast, because you'll injure yourself and then it's all done and you can't do it anymore.
Not only that, but soreness is a minor injury. It's just a good one because it's how you improve, right? It's putting tiny little tears. Well,
it's tearing your muscles.
Tears in your muscle. Yeah, and they rebuild stronger. And they rebuild stronger. But it can be a demotivator if you do it to the point where it's just miserable, if you're just miserable the next day. If you overdo it, if you overdo any physical fitness stuff, it's going to be such a demotivator, right? I think maybe that's one of the big things that these people who have these New Year's fitness goals, right? They're like, I'm going to do this. And they're so amped up. And like you said, they don't know where their line is. And they just way overstep that.
They just have no strategy. They have no tactics laid out.
Well, it's multiple.
Yeah, there's a lot. But yeah, they don't know where their line is if they haven't been into it. And as soon as they cross it too hard and experience too much of the pain too quick, it's easy.
They're like,
well, it's just easy to fall out of that routine because there is no routine yet. There is no habit.
Yeah. Well, it's like it's reinforcing. Here's the thing. When I say that I'm feeling good today because I worked out, well, that's reinforcing that, oh, man, I'm going to work out again. I want to work out again. Versus if I had just gotten back into lifting and I wasn't experiencing the good feelings of it, the endorphins and the good self-image and the feeling good the next day, I would be sore, right? And you don't see results immediately. You feel pain immediately, but you don't see any results. So I would look in the mirror. No, I still look as bad as I did the day before, but now I hurt too. Like, why am I doing this?
Yep.
It's the ultimate demotivator.
Yeah. Well, I got nothing else on this.
I got nothing else. We talked about age. We talked about motivation. You know, is it because you want to look good or is it because you want to perform? We talked about performance and athleticism and the different parts of it. You know, we didn't really get too much into full athleticism, but there's not a whole lot you can say about strength, power, speed, quickness. They kind of are what they are.
Yeah, and most people our age, if you're going to get into fit, I doubt there's a lot of 20-year-olds that listen to this. They're not going to go that deep to be like, okay, today I'm working on my dexterity exercises.
Right.
You know?
Right. Well, we talked about competitiveness and ego.
Yeah, and I think those are big ones.
Really huge. And we talked about genetics.
I have a change challenge.
Yes.
So if you have kids and you're trying to be fit or you already are fit or you're trying to get back into it, think about the role modeling aspect. What can you do? How can you build in a fitness aspect or routine into daily life that will then be an example for your kids to where it's kind of fun? It's not a punishment, but to where it's fun, but to where you're actually doing something. And the way that I do that is that's push-ups in our house. I've never once used push-ups as a punishment ever. So like if they did, they're fighting or whatever, go do push-ups. No. Because then it weaponizes the push-up and then they don't want to do them. We make them fun. We make them like, whoever can go get my wallet from the other room the fastest, they get to do 5 push-ups with dad.
Oh, that's cool.
So with dad. So then we get down and do them. And then we see, you know, so I'm doing my clapping push-ups and Claudia is now trying to do her first clapping push-up. So it doesn't need to be push-ups, just anything. Find a way to playfully connect with your kids, make it fun. And it doesn't even need to be like a whole routine. 10 seconds down on the floor, like Dave talked about, get down there and do something.
I like that, making it a
fun
game.
Yeah.
Because also making it a game is a part of that motivation.
Right, and that's the competitive piece that I like for my family.
I feel like there are many of the new fitness things are trying to do that, right? Like on the Peloton, you can ride against yourself or something, you know, you see like a ghost of yourself. Mm-hmm. This is the, how you did last time. You can see if, you know, so they make it like a game, like a competition.
And yeah, that, try to
that,
gamify.
That helps motivate you. What I would say is pick a couple measurements, right? So like when you say, oh, I want to get more fit, well, what do you mean? Make it real. Pick one or two things and say, I want to do this. You know, it could be, I want to fit in a, you know, 32 waist pant. Or it could be, I want to run a mile in X minutes. You know, something real, something measurable. And work your way toward that. But don't look at it as an end. Look at it as something that you have to maintain, right?
It's a process.
Yeah. Look, take everything that we said in this episode. So set those measurements. Understand that you're going to be – your line, your comfort line is far away from those measurements now. Don't overstep it so much that you end up in pain and you demotivate yourself from ever getting to your measurement goal. Make it a slow process and make it a habit. Make it a part of your day. And then – get comfortable with the idea that once you achieve that measurement, that the journey's not over, that the journey's just beginning. Now the trick is maintaining that measurement. And if you can do that, make it a lifestyle, make it a part of your life, now you've got quality of life today, longevity in the future, and you've actually just changed the way that you're living.
I would say this, and I'm stealing it from Tony Robbins. If you're somebody who's never been fit, or used to be fit, but you're not fit and you're out of shape now, stop over planning, get off your ass and go do something. Quit planning, get up right now and go walk, put down the cupcake or whatever it is and go get going. His point is he works with overweight people and he's like, they want to put hours and days and weeks into these strategic plans. He's like, that's tactical. That doesn't matter. Get up, get active, get your blood flowing.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll give two change challenges. My one that was complicated and whatever, which I really do think would be important. I think if somebody has the motivation.
You can't not give a change challenge that doesn't have some analytic ability to it. I like it. No, I like it. Yeah. I'm complimenting you, Dave.
So if somebody has the motivation to do it, okay, great. How about this? This is easy, and it's along those lines. Make one decision. Make one fitness-oriented decision per day. And it could be as simple as not eating that cupcake, right? Or taking the stairs. But that's it. Make one fitness-oriented decision a day. Yeah. If that's not an easy change challenge, if you can't do that,
stop listening to Life Lab.
Get out of here. All right. So with that, I think we've given a couple of really good actionable things. And we've talked, like I said, we talked a lot about fitness. And we talked about how the core of it, it all comes down to your body and it comes down to your quality of life ultimately impacts your quantity of life. So take those change challenges, get out there, go do something. Like Tony Robbins said, get off your ass. Make one good decision, make one fitness-oriented decision today, and then expand it to the future. Make it something that you maintain. If you do that, you will not regret it. And so with that, get out and experiment with life.